will be for you as a choik forever. Okay? Umazene anida, this halacha, the halacha paraduma, the laws of the paraduma is a choik forever. Umazene anida, the person that sprinkles, the sprinkler, a new word. Umazene anida yichabes, he has to wash his clothing, the clothing becomes tame. Vehanogev mehanida yitma ad arid. The one that touches the mehanida becomes tame when? Ad arid until the medium stars come out. Okay, let's see what it's over here in the Rashi. Rashi over here says, "Mazem yahidah." Rabbi Sein Amru Shemaz Zetor. Vezeba, Rabbi Sein the Shemaz, the one that sprinkles, is Tor. Vezeba lam. What is the pasuk coming to teach you? Shahanoise mechatas tamei tumachamura latamei begodim shalav mashein kein banogea. Vezeh shachitzi b'loshen mazeh loy melacha she'enin mitamin ad sheyhei bochen shiur. Of Hazah. Okay, so here Rashi over here is quoting Gemara Masechet Nida, and the Gemara in the Masechet Nida is taking this pasuk and saying that the pshat is not what you think it is. These are very difficult psukim. We learned yesterday very difficult psukim. When Chazal go and they take the psukim, totally understand it in an entirely different way. Number one, when it says over here Mazeh Mehanida, it does Yechabes Begadav. It does not mean that the one who sprinkles becomes tameh. He does not become tameh. The one that actually stands in one location and bends his finger, or bends the hyssop into the bucket, into the klisharis, and collects the water, and then sprinkles the water upon the person who's tamei, he does not become tamei. He remains tahor. But the pasuk here says, umazei mehanida. No, the word umazei means there will be a person that becomes tamei. Who's that person? A person who carries it, who holds on to the bucket, either from below on the top, wherever it is, does not make physical contact with the water itself, but instead transports the bucket to a different location. He walks dalit amos. He becomes an av hatoma, and that automatically means that his clothing become a rishon latoma. Because a person's clothing generally is one level below oneself. If a person is an avi avos, well, that can't really be. A person is an avatoma, then his clothing are a rishon. If a person is a rishon, then nothing happens to his clothing. If a person touches a sheretz, then his clothing are tahor. A sheretz, a dead sheretz, is an av hatoma. And an av hatuma can only contaminate a person or a garment or really a utensil. A garment is an utensil. When the person becomes tameh, he becomes a rishon. A rishon cannot contaminate another person or a utensil. The only thing that a rishon can do is can contaminate a food. A rishon that touches a food item makes the food into a sheni. But a rishon that makes contact with a human being or makes contact with a utensil, nothing happens. The person remains a rishon, and the source that was a rishon remains a rishon, and the utensil or the other person that was touched, nothing happens to them. Okay, the only time we go down as a madrega from a rishon to a sheni is if the rishon touches a food item. So look at this case over here. You have a person, let's say a person, a human being, with his finger, he makes physical contact with an object that is an av hatoma. So the object that he touches an av, he now becomes a rishon, his whole body. Now he's wearing clothing. He's wearing a shirt, a jacket. There's garments that are touching his physical body. Nothing happens to them because his body became a rishon. And a rishon cannot make something else into a sheni. Impossible, doesn't happen. So nothing happens. But if the person himself is an av, for example, a person went into an ol hames, or a person had some type of inishin, he was a zov, or he's a balkari, or the person that's tsaras, which makes him into an av hatoma, then his clothing, being that they're touching his body, they are one madrega below, they become a Rishon. So here the Pasuk is Mechadish, that a person who is carrying in his possession the water of the Parah Aduma, and if he walks even a small distance, the person becomes an Av HaTumah, which Rashi calls a Tumah Chamura, severe. Why is it severe? Because now that he is an Av, automatically his clothing become a Rishon. An Av can make utensils and other people into one Madrega below them, into a Rishon, and now his clothing need to be immersed in the mikvah. So when it says over here, Mazeh mehanid yichabis begodav, it does not mean the person that actually does the sprinkling. The person that does the sprinkling, nothing happens to. He remains tar. Here it means the person that transports the water of purification, he becomes an Av HaToma, which automatically means that his clothing become a Rishon L'Toma, and the clothing need to be immersed in the mikvah. V'hanogea b'mehanina, or here it's someone who touches. What does that mean? Yitma ad oref. So Rashi, so let's see what goes. Now let's go back in Rashi. Rashi, v'hanogea b'mehanina, Rabbi Seinu Amru Shamaze Tohor. Oh, but the pasuk here says the Mazeh Sameh, V'zebol l'lameh, Shahanoisei, the one who carries the Mechatas Tameh, Tumah Chamura. To what degree? That he is an Av HaTumah, so that now the clothing that are in contact with him, L'tameh Bigodim Shalof, they become a Rishon L'tumah. Masha Einkein Binogea. Now, Nogea, so we don't, when we say that when a person, now let's say a person makes physical contact with the water, so he becomes a Rishon. The person that sprinkles is not doing anything really. Think about it. The person that does the sprinkling, he's not touching the water, and he is not carrying the water. The person that sprinkles, he sprinkles the water indirectly. He dips into the water in Azoif, and he lifts up the Azoif, and he sprinkles with the Azoif. So the person that does the Hazor, the sprinkling, is not making physical contact with the water itself. So nothing happens to such a person. The other two people, if a person were to just to physically touch the water, then he becomes a Rishon L'Toma, but his clothing remain 100% tar, because a Rishon cannot make a utensil tame. The tumah stops with the person. But if the person carries the mechatas, he travels with it, he moves it from location to location, then indeed the person becomes an avatoma, and the person becomes an avatoma, and the water and the clothing remain tahor. The person carries it, he becomes an avatoma, and the clothing becomes a Rishon. So again, one more time, the Rashi's. The person that carries mechatos tamei tumah chamura, he becomes tamei tumah chamura. To what degree? L'tamei v'godim shalach. Oh, ma'ashen came in again. A person that makes physical contact with the water, he becomes a Rishon, and the clothing remain tar. So the question then is, if really we're discussing the person that is carrying the water, why then does the pasuk call the person that's carrying the water, call him a mazeh? Should call him the hanoise. And the answer is to teach you the halacha that if the amount of water that you carry has to be a significant amount, at least the shi'ur of how much water you need to sprinkle upon the person to purify that person. And v'zeh shachitzi b'loshen mazeh loy malchus, come to teach you she'ena mitamin ad sheyevohen shi'ur hazor. Vanogea Yitma, the one that touches the water, he becomes Tameh, but the Tumah stops there. The Ein Ton Kibos Begodim, he does not need to clean his clothing, he becomes a Rishon, and the clothing remains tar. So Sach HaKol, when we walk out of this Pasuk, we walk it all confused, but we do take out a very important principles. There are three different types of people that are alluded to in this Pasuk. The Kohen who transports the water, the Kohen who touches the water physically, and the person who sprinkles the water. When one sprinkles, you're not touching the water, and you're not moving, you're not transporting the water. You're not transporting because you're staying put in one location. And you're not touching because the way you sprinkle is by dipping the azoid into the water. And each one of these three people have a different halacha. The one that sprinkles the water remains tahor. The one that touches the water, his body becomes a rishon l'tumah. And if his body is a rishon l'tumah, then his clothing remain tahor. They do not need to be immersed in the mikvah, because a person who is a rishon does not have the ability to contaminate a utensil. Nothing happens to the utensil. Clothing is in the category of a utensil. Nothing happens to the clothing. The person that does not touch it and does not sprinkle, and does not sprinkle, but instead he carries it, he moves the container of water, dalid amos, his body automatically becomes an avatoma, and thus his clothing are one notch below, they become a rishon l'toma. Okay, so this is how Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk, based upon what it says in the Gemara. Now let's see what it says in the Targum Ungalis. Targum says, Usehei lohoin l'kiyam alam. The law of Parah Aduma is an eternal chok, an eternal, is a likyam. Likyam is translating here as a law chok forever. Udiyadei me ado yusam, the one who sprinkles the mazei, the necha nidah, the one that sprinkles the water of sprinkling. Okay, notice the time over here, Targum simplifies the language. He calls the mei nidah the same word as diade, udiade, the one that sprinkles, the mei, the water, adayusa, the water of sprinkling, yitzaba levusho, he has to clean his clothing, and in this context it means he goes to the mikvah, udi yikrav bimei adayusa, one who goes near, which means physical contact, yehen misoef, he is tamei, only the body is tamei, he needs to go to the mikvah, and he needs to have herev shemesh. Okay, so this is a very difficult pasuk, difficult Rashi. Let's go to the next pasuk. V'chol asher yiga bo yatame yidma, v'hanefesh hanagas titma adar. Now, what does this mean? V'chol asher yiga bo. Okay, so interesting Rashi. So there are a lot of V'chol asher yiga bo. Okay, we have over here a lot of Rashi's. Oh, so these Rashi's, he's going to go back. He's going back to review the whole parasha all over again. Okay, well, let's just pursue the basic shot on this pasuk. V'chol asher yade, v'chol asher yiga bo yatame, v'chol asher yiga bo yatame, hazesh shenidma b'meis yidma. So Rashi is telling us, v'chol, any other person that touches asher yiga bo yatame, that touches a person that was nitma b'meis. Teaching you the basic laws of Tumah v'Tahara. We have a person, the dead body is called the Avi Avos, the grandfather. You know, they used to call in the yeshiva world, and I don't hear this anymore. I don't hear this anymore. I guess I just hang out. They used to call the Pope. The Pope, they would call him the Avi Avos. The code word for the Pope. The Avi Avos. In reference to the most contaminated. They call the Pope the Father. Father, you ever watch television? Father. Guy goes into a confessional booth. Father, I am about to sin. Please forgive me for what I am about to do.
They used to say, Rebbe, the Christian, how do they say the Father, the Son?
And the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost.
This was the way they did it, the Father, the Son. You know, so the Pope probably represents...
So they call him the Father of the Father. So I think it's a brilliant expression, because every priest is called the Father. Father, Father, Father. So how do you refer it to the chief priest? The priest in charge, you call him the Father of the Father, the Avi Avos, the Zayde. But you don't want to go give him any kavod, because this religion is not exactly something that we want to have anything to do with. So we refer to them with the term which represents the highest level of spiritual contamination, the Avi Avos Satoma. Did you ever hear anyone say talk like this? Mayor, did you ever hear someone refer to the Pope as the Avi Avos? They used to always say that. They call him the Pope, the Avi Avos. There's a joke. There's a very famous joke that when the Pope, I don't know what year this was, the Pope went to Israel to meet Ben Gurion. I don't know which Pope this was. He went to Israel and he met with Ben Gurion. So they had on the cover of the newspaper, every newspaper in Israel, they had a picture of the Pope greeting Ben-Gurion. And Ben-Gurion, you know, his head was uncovered. Ben-Gurion wasn't a religious person. And the Pope. So one person, you know, Yeshiva Bach, who knows from nothing, doesn't know what the Pope is, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't know who Ben-Gurion is. So he says to his friend, which one is the Pope? So the other one says, the one that's wearing the yarmulke. The one that's wearing the yarmulke, he's the Pope. The Avi Avos.
No, the headline was, Avi Avos Betuma.
The Satan headline. The Satan headline. The Avi Avos Vitum. Not Hatuma, the Avi Avos Vituma. Yeah. The Satan headline.
Well, they call him the Papa. You know, the Pope is the Papa.
Yeah, he's the chief. He's the chief. What is Notre Dame? What is Notre Dame called? No, the church. We learned today about the Church of Notre Dame, where they burned the shrines
of
Holland.
What is
Notre Dame is French for our mother, the lady. The mother or lady refers to Mary. It's our mother. Notre Dame means mother. I am not exactly sure which the verb.
They're spices. They don't know who the father is.
They say the lady or the mother. Okay, you know it's Satmar. Satmar is really Saint Mary.
But they didn't know who his father was.
Satmar is Saint Mary. Mr. Apple, you know that? Satmar?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
That I know.
Yes, no, it is. It's Saint Mary.
It's the Great Lake. That's what it is.
The Great Lake? You sure about that?
Yeah.
The Sakmar of Kol, we never said Sakmar. He said Sak, the Kuf, Sakmar. He didn't want to say. He didn't want to say Saint Mary.
That's like Yaakov. They say Yankov. That's
That's because they don't know how to pronounce the Nun. That's because they don't know how to pronounce the. They don't know how to pronounce the Yankees. The Yankees comes from Yankel. Yankees, Yankel. Everything else goes back to the Jews. The Jews control the world. That's the bottom line. All right, let's go back. V'chol asher yiga b'yatame, anyone v'chol asher yiga b'yatame. So this is a very interesting pasuk. According to Rashi, the grammar of the pasuk is very difficult. And v'chol asher yiga b'y, period. If the pasuk would not say the word tame, possibly it would be self-understood that if any person that is tar makes contact with a person who has made contact with the dead, then that person becomes tame. But for whatever the reason, the pasuk over here goes out of its way to specify that the word bo, when it says here the word bo refers to the person who made contact with the dead. How did he make contact with the dead? Either he was in the same tent, he was in the oil hames, or he touched the dead body, or I guess that's it. If he touched the dead body, or he was in the same room as the dead body, then this fellow now is called an Av Hatoma. So therefore, when another person comes along and touches the Av Hatoma, the one that touches becomes a Rishon Letoma. That person himself needs to go to mikvah. He does not need the Para Adum water. The only one that needs the Para Adum water sprinkled upon him, day 3 and day 7, is a person that is Tomei from a dead person and is an Av Hatoma, not a derivative of Tum. That means he either was in the same tent as the dead body, or he touched, he was outdoors, but he physically touched the dead body. Then that fellow becomes an Av Hatoma, and he needs the Para Aduma water day 3 and day 7, and needs to go to Mikvah and have Harav Shemesh. But if someone is a Rishon Letoma, because he touched this person, and only because of Rishon, he does not need to wait 7 days, day 3 and day 7, he does not need to do that, and all he needs to do is to go to the Mikvah immediately, and wait until sunset, and he's finished. So v'chol, any person that thus far has been Tohar, Asher, which Yiga boy, who makes contact, physical contact with Hatame, with the person who came in contact with the Tuma. So he came, this person came in contact with a Rishon Tuma. Yitma, this person now is Tame, but he's only Tame as a Rishon. And therefore, Vehanefesh Hanagas Titma Adhar. So let's see Rashi over here. Va'nefesh, it's a new halach. Va'nefesh hanagas boy. This nefesh, b'tmei meis. And the pasuk is like repeating itself. How long is this tumah for? It's only for until the evening. You do not need day 3 and day 7. This is a very hard psukim, even just to read on a very simple level. The chol, any person that's tasha yigabo, that makes contact with bo, the person who hatameh, who made contact with the dead, yitma, this fellow becomes tameh. What is the degree of the tumah? Part 2. The pasuk now, in essence, repeats itself and tells you the degree of the tumah. V'hanefesh. The nefesh is the same v'chol. You see, it's very difficult because we're repeating the same exact concept twice. In the beginning, we call them v'chol, anyone. And now, we're referring to the anyone with a different term called v'hanefesh. Notice that it's in the singular, it's not in plural. And we're not giving a generality of v'chol. We're defining that person as a nefesh, hanagas, that touches. Touches what? Touches the tameh. Here in the beginning of the pasuk, we identify that person by calling him a tameh, and in this part of the pasuk, it does not bother to identify who he touched. But from the context, we know. And here it's telling you the zman, the degree of tuma, titma, becomes tameh only ad aref. Anevesh anagasbo, bitmei meis, very more brashi, bititma ad aref, kan lamanu. From here we learn, shehameis is called the avi avois, hatuma. And he's an av, and he has the power adam. He can contaminate a person to make a person into a rishon l'tumah. That's it. Ze perusha l'fi mashmo v'hilchosecha. Rashi says, I have now concluded, explaining the pasuk according to its understanding and its laws. And now I wanted to go tell you some drush, some homiletics. Ideas, Medrash Agada. Now the Medrash Agada, Hetakti, I have quoted, Misoidoi, from the principles. Okay, the word Misoidoi is not an easy word to translate over here, from the principles, Shel Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. There was a famous Darshan, I guess it's part of the Medrash, Vezehu, and then he goes on to tell you, which we'll do in one segment, but I want to clarify this principle of all the different Madregot. Sachakol, how many, if you only learn this one thing, it's worthy to memorize this. There are 7 levels of contamination. The source of tuma is called the avi avos. There is only one avi avos of tuma, and that is a dead body. A dead sheretz is an avatuma. A person that contracts tuma by having an emission or becoming a mitzora is an avatuma. A woman who is in neither, she's an avatuma. There is no such thing as avi avos hatumah. The only thing that's called avi avos hatumah is a dead body. Avi avos, that's the highest level of tumah. That's number one. If anyone comes in contact with the dead body, whether they're in the same room or they make physical contact, that individual or that item becomes an av. We go down to level number 2. An av hatumah is a davar chomer ad ma'od. It's very, very strict. And an av, if it makes contact with another item, with another human being, or with a food, or with an object, a utensil, it becomes a rishon. Now that's level number 3. Once we get to a rishon, it's the tumah has been significantly weakened, and now the ability, the potency of a rishon is significantly weak. A rishon generally can only contaminate a food or a liquid. But a rishon does not have the potency to contaminate a human being or a utensil. If something is identified as a utensil, it cannot become tameh coming in contact with a rishon. The only thing it can damage is foods. So if a rishon touches a food item, it becomes a sheni. And there's a chumra midrabanan. And that is if a rishon touches a liquid, the liquid is its status quo. It's also called a rishon. So liquids.
What if a rishon touches a person?
I told you nothing. So we said
nothing.
Nothing. A rishon's potency is significantly diminished. A rishon does not have the ability to contaminate people, and does not have the ability to contaminate utensils. The only thing a Rishon can contaminate is food, solid food, and that becomes a shame.
Even by what we're talking about here, forget.
Yeah, that's exactly what the pasuk says. That's exactly what the pasuk, because the pasuk over here tells us, we learn from the pasuk, that if a person comes to contact with their body, and so he's an av, and if the whoever his body is an av, automatically his clothing is in the status of a rishon. But if a person comes in contact with an avatama, then the person becomes a rishon, and its clothing that he's wearing on his body remain tar. The only way the clothing can become tummy is because they are contact with his body. And if his body is only a rishon, his body does not have the ability to make his clothing into a sheni. So a rishon, it stops there. Only can contaminate a food. Okay, so let's say the rishon touches food. The food becomes a sheni. Let's say that piece of food touches another piece of food. So the rule is, generally, nothing happens. A sheni, that's tameh, cannot contaminate another item. It ends with a sheni. One condition, that what the sheni is touching is chulin. It is mundane. But if the sheni touches truma, then truma, due to its unique sanctity, can become a shlishi. If truma, that's a shlishi, touches another piece of truma, nothing happens, because a shlishi cannot make a revi. However, there's an exception. If it touches kachim, a carbon is susceptible to become a revi'i. Let's say meat of kadashim touches another piece of meat of kadashim, nothing happens. Cannot go below a revi. There's only one thing that a piece of kachim can make into a chamishi: the ashes, the water of the para aduma. The para aduma has the most sensitivity to anything. And the water of a para aduma is susceptible to become contaminated from a revi. So you look at the big picture, it's a nice round number. The number 7 is everyone's favorite number. 7. There are 7 days in the week. Shabbos is 7. The whole world is all built on 7s. 7, 7, 7. So, what's 7? The Avos. The Av. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. Avos. The Av. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revihi, Chamishi. There are 7 madregot, 7 levels of ritual, I don't know if that's the right word here, spiritual contamination. 7 levels of contamination. Okay, and over here in this pasuk, Rashi over here, to a degree, summarize the pasuk teaching. Let's go back to the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, Vayis lachem chukasalam, there'll be the law. What's the law? Umazei mehanidah, the person that does the transportation of the mehanidah, yichabes begodav. So here's where the rule is being taught. This fellow is so contaminated, he is in such bad shape, because he transported the paraduma water, his body becomes an avatoma. If his body becomes an avatoma, then automatically his clothing become a rishon litoma. And that's why he must wash, he must immerse in the mikveh, even his clothing. But what happens if there's a third person who makes contact with the person who made contact with the dead? So the dead is avios. The person number one who touched the dead is an af. And now another person touches the af. So that person, his body becomes a rishon. If his body is a rishon, nothing happens to his clothing, because a rishon cannot make utensils, which means clothing, into a sheni. Then it goes on. Then it's just telling the person who touched the water, the person touched the water itself, he becomes a rishon. How do we express becoming a rishon? Yitma, his body becomes tamei ad haref. His body. But what kind of tamei? Rishon, which cannot contaminate the clothing. Anyone, any other person that touches the Av HaToma, going back to the Av HaToma, Yidma, they become a Rishon. How long are they? Now, what is the, this is a very important expression over here. And what's the law? The law is, when does a person need the waters of Parah Aduma? You only need the waters of Parah Aduma only if a person comes in direct contact with the dead. If a person comes in direct contact with the dead, goes home, and he touches everyone in his family, he has contaminated them all. But the only one that needs Parah Aduma water is the father, is the original person, because he's an Av, and everyone else only a Rishon. They only need to go to Mikvah and wait until the sun sets. Okay, let's go over here first to Targum, then we'll do the end of the Rashi. Targum on this passing. Anyone that touches becomes Tamei. This we already did this passing. Anyone that touches becomes Tamei. Anyone that touches the person who is Tamei, Yehei Misoav, will become Tamei. He will become a Rishai. And how long will this last? The Nash, the Yikrav Bey, Yehei Misoav, Ad Ramsha, until the evening. Very straightforward. Now, after Rashi went through the entire first Aliyah in this section, Rashi is now going to review again the entire, well, not the entire, going to select specific details of this parasha and wax homiletic. Okay? So here Rashi begins again. Para Aduma. I skip. Oh, here it is. V'yikhu elecha. It says they shall take elecha, take to you. So Rashi makes a dik mishalohem. Kishem shehem periku nizme hazov le'egel mishalohem. Kach yaviu oiso zu l'kapara mishalohem. So Rashi over here says that who is the one that provides the Parah Aduma? Do they purchase it from communal funds? Well, I guess they do. I guess it has to be purchased b'dafka from the community, not from a private citizen. It cannot come. Aaron HaKohen is not allowed to take his personal assets, his personal money, and purchase the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma must come from the funds of the tzibur. Why? Because the tzibur are the ones who worship the egel. They're the ones who got us into this big crowd to begin with. So that's why the yikhu, they shall bring to you. The yikhu is v'lashoyin rabbi. They, the Jewish people, shall take their assets and they shall bring it to you, Aaron. You, Aaron, you, Moshe, you don't spend one penny on this. The money must come from them. Why? So Rashi makes this connection because Rashi says that the Parah Aduma is coming to the Chabad for the Egel. The Egel, they gave their jewelry for the Egel. So therefore now, and they gave their own private funds. Therefore they have to go now and get it. By the way, whose jewelry did they give? The men gave their own jewelry. In those days, men wore earrings. And the men took off their earrings and gave the earrings as a donation to the Egel Hazov. Can you imagine today a man wearing earrings? I don't think it would go very well in our community to see men wear earrings. But in the time of Matan Torah, can you imagine if we had pictures of what they look like at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Mr. Apple, can you imagine what they look like? What do they look like? Do they have beards? Did they wear head coverings? I think we would be shocked what they look like. It would seem they probably had wild hair. Who knows, they probably had very long hair, like in the movies, and long beard, and they did not have head coverings, and they wore earrings. We would say, what is this? These are our ancestors. Okay? And when it came to make the egel, they donated their earrings, their personal earrings. So they have a they bring this as their own torment. Parah Aduma, a red cow. Marshall, and why a parah? It's to atone for the egel. An egel is the baby of the parah. Marshal ben Shivcha Shatinaf Poltin Shel Melech. There's a maidservant. It was bring your children to work day. Okay, bring your children to work day, and everyone comes with the little babies. Isn't he cute? Look at my baby. And then all of a sudden the baby releases waste. Who cleans up the waste? Not the janitor, not the CEO, not the partner. Who is the mother? So Mashal Leben Shivcha Shatinef Poltin Shel Melech Amru, they said, Tavoy imo usekanea chatzoat, clean up the garbage. Kach so too, when the Jewish people will be brought in Egel, so we now bring the mother to clean up the mess. Kach so too, tavoy foro usechaber alo Egel. Mr. Rapp, are you satisfied with this? What does that mean exactly? The mother did nothing wrong. What did the paru do? The Jewish people, they put together some gold and silver and out came an Egel. What's going on over here? The mother, what does the mother have to do with anything over here? I don't know, it's a very difficult question. What is it over here? But over here, the para, it's a kapara. It's a chabal egel. Aduma, what does it mean, aduma? Aduma is al shem im yadimu katoila. If you are red in chait, like crimson, I will purify you and make you into wool, into snow. So here it says, katoila shachait korui adam. Chait is called red. Tamima, complete. Al shame Yisrael shoy tamimim. The Jewish people are called tamimim. That's what the par has to be. Tamima represents the Jewish people. The Jewish people who are red in sin, but we're good people. We're tamimim. Renasu boy bali mumim. Tavayzeh usachaper aleim. Let this animal come be atonement and we yachsu lisam musam. We will return to our purity. Lo asher loy olo aleha oil. Kishem sheparku meleim oil shamayim. Because the yoke refers to the oil of Hashem we took off from ourselves, the yoke of heaven. Okay, next. El Elazar HaKohen, Kishem, Shenekalu El Aaron, Shehu Kohen, Laz Eso Egel, Lufit Sha Aaron, Osa Eso Egel, Lo Nidna Loi Avodizu Al Yodoi, Shein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Aaron was not able to participate. Why is it Elazar and not Aaron? Aaron was the one who made the Egel. Memela in Kadigana Sanegar. The Sadaf is a para, they're gonna burn the para. Kishem Shnishra for Egel, just like they burned the Egel. Eitz Erez Ve'ez of Shnin Solas, there are three ingredients, you throw into the fire, and Eitz Erez a piece of cedar, you throw in the hyssop, and you throw in a piece of toilas, you throw in a silk, you throw in some sort of wool that's dyed red. Shalosha minim halalu kineged shalosha alfei ish. So why there are three minim, they correspond to 3,000 people that participated in the Egel. The Erev Rav, Shloish Nim Halalu Kneged Shloish Alfei Ish Shenaflu BeEgel, who died. The Erez Hu Agavoya Mikol Adonis, Erez Sidur is the tallest. The Ezav Hu Namach Mikulam, Simen Shekosh Agavoya Shenizko'o V'chata. It is reminded that the arrogant who have sinned and become arrogant, they shall humble themselves from their high perch down to a worm, to a Tolash Shani. Yashbil Es Atzmai Ke Ezav V'Tolash Yizchaber Boi. Le Mishmeres, this shall be as a mishmeres. What does that mean? Kamo, just like she peshav ha'egel shavu l'dayrois l'peronos ve'ein lo yipikudo she'ein ba mipikudas ha'egel. And every time that Hashem punishes the Jewish people, mixed into the punishment, this will be a punishment for the Kedo Egel. Shenev avion pakti ufo kaditi andid, I will visit punishment upon my people. I will visit upon them the punishment of the Egel. V'chashem she'egel matami kolo iskin boy. And just like the Egel contaminates anyone that is involved in its preparation, kach so tu para tatame kolo iskimboi. When we learn today about the Egel is matame, that's when the Egel already is done. But when they actually, the people who actually create the Egel, people who make the Egel, they all become tame. So he's saying over here, just like the Egel is matame kolo the chetu Egel. Just like the Egel is matame kolo iskimboi, kach para tatame kolo iskimboi. So to those who prepare in the preparation of the paraduma, they become tamei. Hashem shetinitaru be'efray, just like when it came to the chet ha'egel, the Jewish people were purified when Moshe ground the egel into dust and he sprinkled the dust upon the Jewish people. So to kach parah to Hashem shetinitaru be'efray, shenemar vayizer al pnei amayim, kach so to v'lochu la tamei meifaras shreifas achatos, and therefore you can purify those who are tamei with the ash. So the Rashi here, in essence, is doing very, very quick because we're running out of time. Is Rashi here saying is there is a direct correlation direct between the Parah Aduma and the Cheito Egel. The Egel is a baby calf. The Parah is the mother. The mother is not coming to atone. And just like when it came to the Egel, they gave their own jewelry, so too for the atonement, they have to give their own funds. Just like the Egel, who made the Egel? Only Elazar, not Aaron, because since coming to atone for the Cheito Egel, Ein Kategor Nase San Egor. And when it comes to and why there are three different minim, Heneged, the 3,000 people that participated. Why does it turn into ash? Because just like when it came to the Cheito Egel, it was the dust. It was the dust that ground the dust which brought atonement, so to the ash is gonna bring the atonement. And why these Shriminim? Because Chait comes when you're arrogant. You have to humble yourself to be humble like a worm. Okay, and what about the oil? Why are we makbid that the Egel never worked before? The power never worked before? Because by us making the Egel, we will poirek the oil of Hashem. So now we have to remind that we will poirek our oil. We have to have an Egel who does not have an oil. Obviously, every one of these little details requires an enormous amount of explanation to appreciate the depth of what this means, which I don't know. But at least Rashi provides all the basic things of what these things are. Okay, everybody, Sai, that's it for tonight. Oh, did we finish over here? Yeah, we did. We did all the Rashi. Okay, so we finished this. And unfortunately, we have to stop now. Again, in the issue of tomorrow, please look out tomorrow for an email, for a text message. If we will have a shiur tomorrow night, I unfortunately cannot make it. Good night, everyone. Take care.
Good night, everybody. Shabbat shalom already.
Shabbat shalom. Have a laser good night. Thanks for coming, have a laser. Mr. Ms. Glatter, thank you for coming. Have a good night.
What about me?
You're always here. You're always here. Thank you very much for taking me. By the way, you left paper towels in the car.
Hey, all right. You have it and you've not used it in the back. That's
you have a whole roll of paper towels. Should I bring it tomorrow?
No. Leave it in your car. It's very important.
All right. Thank you again for
you
taking me.
You change your oil, or, you know, you have to change a tire. You're always good to have a
paper towel.
If you take a kid that vomits, you know?
If you go on a date.
Never hurt.
If you go on a date and you don't like the girl, you cover her up.
No, you make a mechitza. You have to make a mechitza.
If she doesn't like you, she'll cover you up. Mr. and Ms. Gladder, how are you? How are the Gladders?
Yes, we're here.
How are you? How are you doing?
Thank God. We're doing okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
What's doing by you?
All right. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
Okay. And we appreciate you, Shiro.
Please.
So
thank you. The pleasure is mine.
Okay then.
Okay. Good night. Be well. All the best. Be well. Be well. Good night.